Welcome to the presentation entitled The Evolution of Integrated Healthcare at a Behavioral Health Organization in an Urban Community. It's my great pleasure to introduce our presenters, John Mays, Sarah Gothridge, Alice Geis, and Mary Colleran. Mr. Mays is president and CEO of Trilogy, a behavioral health agency in Chicago. He earned his master's degree in social work from the University of Illinois at Chicago. During his tenure at Trilogy, he has focused on developing community partnerships to bridge funding and service gaps and on ensuring that barriers to primary and behavioral health care are reduced or eliminated. Dr. Sarah Gothridge is Trilogy's medical director. She received her MD from Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine and is a board-certified psychiatrist. Dr. Gothridge provides psychiatric consultation and oversight of Trilogy's Psychiatric Services Department, as well as Trilogy's Integrated Healthcare Program. Dr. Alice Geis is Trilogy's Director of Integrated Healthcare and an instructor in the College of Nursing at Rush University. She received her doctorate in nursing practice from Rush University and works with Trilogy's medical director to develop the Integrated Healthcare Program, and she also oversees nursing services. Mary Colleran is Trilogy's Chief Operations Officer with responsibility for the development and oversight of Trilogy's grants and contracts, program evaluation, quality assurance, and research efforts. She received her MA in social work from Boston University and has over 15 years of experience in nonprofit development and management. Please join me in welcoming our presenters.
Thank you, Dr. Cook. Thank you for having us here. We are also delighted to be here. What you'll find very quickly is we love talking about this. We love what we do. We love telling everyone about it. I will speak briefly, but we would love your questions at the end, and we'd love to have a conversation really about the nuts and bolts of how this works for us. Okay, so what we'll start with is telling you a little bit about Trilogy so you have some context. We'll tell you about our integrated healthcare model, and we'll touch on many of the interesting things that have come along the way. It has been a wild and wonderful ride for us. I think Judith mentioned blood, sweat, and tears somewhere earlier. We've had a lot of that, but also a lot of excitement and a very gratified journey here. I inserted myself here to talk about the agenda before I go into things in more detail so that I could introduce personally our CEO, John Mays, who without his vision and leadership and heart, we wouldn't have been able to do it. It clearly requires a real steadfast commitment and an eye on the goal to keep everyone marching in the same direction, because this is a little bit of herding and a little bit of all sorts of things to make this work. So with my gratitude and the spirit of gratitude today, here's my boss, John Mays.
Okay. Well, good morning. I see... I'm really pleased to be here to have this opportunity to speak about something that's very near and dear to me. I see some old friends here and hope to make some new friends. I'm going to play this off of a little crib sheet here. I'm not going to try to follow slides because I don't really have any slides, but I do have a little crib sheet. I think that for me, being in the field for about 30 years, actually this year, 30 years ago, I got my master's degree. And you look at me and you say, that guy looks a lot older than that. Well, you know, I'm a Marine, I'm a Vietnam vet, so I had a life before I went to school. And we won't talk about that right now. But I came to education a little bit later, a little bit wiser. So getting to the place where we are today, that's what I really want to talk about. I spent 21 years working for a great organization that's going to be represented here today, that's Thresholds. And I came over to Trilogy about a little over 8.5 years ago. And Trilogy was doing good work. They were using models that weren't quite as current as some of the things we were doing at Thresholds. And I've also been a CARF accreditation surveyor for 16 years, which gave me an opportunity to travel around the country and learn about best practices, steal some of those practices, share some of the things I learned. But that's been a wonderful experience, and I continue to do that. So when I got to Trilogy, I came with an open mind, and I had a lot of friends in the community. So one of those friends was an organization called Asian Human Services, and the CEO there and I are very good friends. And she also operates a couple of FQHCs. So she comes to visit to look at my new digs, as she called them. And she says, well, why don't we get a change of scope and put part of our FQHC in this 40,000 square foot space you have here. So we had no money, no grants. And I said, oh, that seems like a good idea. Well, how can we do this? Well, they had some money, and they agreed to build it, this clinic. And I said, I won't charge you any occupancy for 3 years. So that was the deal. They were going to set up what I now call co-located primary care services in our behavioral health care setting. And co-location doesn't get us there. I don't have any analogies for it, but you sort of have men's clothing on the fourth floor, home appliances on the fifth floor. You're all in the same place, but you're really not doing the same thing with the same stuff. So, plus, we didn't have any wonderful SAMHSA funding. So we had to generate revenue using the FQHC model. And that's a lot of people and a lot of activity. So we couldn't generate that within that setting, but we tried for a year. So after a year, we decided that we had to put the FQHC back in their box, but it left us a wonderful clinic. And we didn't really know what to do with it. We had our docs and nurses scattered around the building. So someone had a great idea, and I think that might have been Dr. Geis. Let's put the nursing down here. Let's put the psychiatry down here. Let's make this a clinic, a health clinic for ourselves. And she then commenced to parade, and over the last 5 years, probably 300 nursing students from Rush. That's helped us quite a bit. So we really kind of bootstrapped a little integrated healthcare there. And one of the things we discovered is that other providers were more comfortable with the people we serve. So we started kind of easing toward primary care organizations that understood our population, that understood what a case manager, we called them recovery counselors, what their role is in helping people recover. So we identified some really wonderful people in the community that got it, if you will. And these people worked for Heartland International Health Centers at the time. And they had a wonderful executive director over there who's now the city commissioner on public health, I believe, Bushara Sukar. And he had come across an application that SAMHSA was putting out. This was the second round of their primary health care behavioral health integration project. And he says, why don't we get together since we love each other so much and submit this proposal? So we did. And we didn't get it. We were crying, whining. But we're strong, so we kept working with what we had. We got some small foundation grants that gave us more of Alice. And I think we had about 8 hours to start with. We're not quite at 40 yet, but we're working on it. So a year later, Alice gets a phone call, and it says, are you guys still interested in that integrated healthcare thing we were doing? Were we interested? Yes, we're interested. Once Alice found me, and I said, yes, we're still very much interested, and Heartland had been integrated in the proposal as a partner. So I pick up the phone, call Heartland, and I say, we got the grant. But Bushara was no longer there. He was at the city. And Gwen Roush, who is an outstanding partner, I can't say enough about what she's done and what we've done together, I've been on the job 2 months. And she said, you're who? And you want to do what? I said, we want to create this thing. So she says, well, I don't even have a desk yet. So it was a lot of work and just trying to help her understand what it is we've been hoping for a year. And I think that that's been the key, is the partnership from the top down that's made this work for us. I also have some historical stuff here somewhere. Mary worked real hard to... I'm just freewheeling here. It's like I'm supposed to tell you who we are. We're a behavioral health care organization. Nothing against bureaucrats, but I don't like the term agency. I think that implies something that we're not. We're an organization, and an organization of partnerships. So it's a behavioral health care organization. We've been around over more than 40 years, actually 43 years, our 43rd year. Working with people with serious mental illness, co-occurring substance use and abuse disorders, and now really getting into the comorbidities of primary health care issues. Our mission is to assist people with serious mental illness by helping them discover and reclaim their own capabilities and life direction. Central to our philosophy and all of our services is the belief that people can experience long-term recovery. One of the things that really moves me when I think about those 25 years that people don't get sometimes when they have a serious mental illness that's not being treated, I think that the recovery piece is for us, is not like we're doing some magical whatever, you know, I almost said voodoo, but that we're not only helping people live longer, we're helping people have a better quality of life. And to me, that's the core of what we're trying to do here at Trilogy. We believe in recovery focused treatments, evidence-based practices, and we have a variety of them. I'm not going to list them all, but if they're related to mental health, we probably do it. When people come to our clinic, our clients, they're surrounded or engulfed by psychiatry, the primary care, the substance abuse counselors, the nursing care. It is one team, the case managers, we're all there together, working together in a way that I really haven't seen anywhere else. You know, and this has probably been a little learning lesson for some of us who are used to being on top of the hill, you know, and our society, the MD is the top of the hill. Well, in our world of Trilogy, the MD is a member of the team, and that's what makes it work. We have had to have hundreds of hours of meetings so that our partners, you know, primary health care has its own world. FQHC has its own world. Behavioral health care has its own world and nightmares in terms of funding. But we're getting it done. And this invitation, Dr. Cook, I never called Dr. Cook, was a pleasant surprise, and in some way for me, a way to kind of tell people what we're doing up there in the northeast corner of Chicago. And I don't know who I'm supposed to introduce next. I don't have it on my card. I'm going to escape and let Dr. Gothridge talk about the things we do there that make sense to those of you who have doctorates.
Thanks, John. John doesn't need slides, so we'll just skip through his. But but you have them in your on your little flash drive. I will share this picture with you. We call it the Trilogy Team. Actually, John refers to us as the Trilogy Tribe, and he's the chief, but he can't do anything without us, so we feel very, very strongly about that. What I want to speak to you briefly before my colleagues give you more details about our program is our model and how we look at it. Clearly, all these pieces of the puzzle need to be in place. More and more in the literature, and even this morning in the presentation, puzzle pieces are a moniker of integrated health, so it's not a new idea. But each one of these pieces of the puzzle we've struggled with. We've tried to get them to fit together. We've done a little filing along the edges. We've looked around for pieces on the floor. We've done all sorts of things. But clearly, it is a very, very complex issue to do together. Something that isn't talked about a lot in these settings and certainly might not be expected when we talk about the state of the science is how important culture is to this movement of integrated healthcare. And this is what I'm talking about here is culture as it relates to wellness, as it relates to health, and of course, we're accustomed to culture of recovery and the things that we do in the mental health space. But to make this work in integrated health, we need a shared culture. And I'll read my little definition of culture I picked up. Culture is the arts, beliefs, customs, institutions, and other products of human work and thought considered that as a unit. It's also a set of predominating attitudes and behaviors that characterize a group. We can't do this without really developing a culture of health among all those members of the team that were on that first slide. The things mentioned here, well-coordinated care, quality care, person-centered, nothing is new about that. What is really, really important, though, is that every member of the team share that. And that means case managers, primary care doctors, medical assistants, the receptionist up front of the medical services, of course, psychiatrists, therapists, occupational therapists, people in the records department. Every person in the puzzle here has some newly complicated issue they have to struggle with to make it work for integrated health care, even if it's releases of medical care versus psychiatric care. You know, this is really complex. To do this, we need to be creative and we need to be flexible, and you'll see some ways that we've done that. But I think most importantly, working on culture creates an environment where, you know, which I'm very gratified to see, that I can walk through the parking lot in the morning and one of our clients will say, "Hey, doc, I got my hemoglobin A1C down to 6. You know, this really happened, and this is in a fellow who has terrible chronic psychosis. He's has a lot of residual symptoms, but he is on board there. And I have case managers come in and say, "You know, do you think, doc, it would be okay for me to go for a walk when I meet with this person every time?" "Yes, great." Or someone in records that says, "You know, I know we put out candy for that event. I really think we should have some carrot sticks." You know, these are little things, but this is culture. This is everyone is in the game. Or when you pass clients who shouldn't be smoking in the parking lot, throw their cigarettes on the floor because they see us coming. you know, that's what will make a change, not just us working in our little clinic together, which, by the way, I'm quite proud of. And that speaks to that environment can help breed a new culture. And because we're all together in the clinic, in the, our co-located site, we get to learn about each other. We live together. When the grant came together, we basically were suddenly in bed together with people we didn't know, and we had to work it out. It was an interesting marriage. But putting us together helps us understand each other. And it really is a place where, as a psychiatrist, when I'm very worried about someone's hypertension, their blood pressure has just spiked, I've never seen this before, I literally open the door and yell to the nurse practitioner across the hall, "Help!" And she helps. And the nursing students help, and they call the other outside doctors and get specialists. So the environment and the culture are really the background that makes all of this work. And I'll turn this over to Alice Geis.
Hi, everybody. I don't think it's any news to people in this room that tending to health promotion is an important piece of any integrated health program, which serves people with serious mental illness and multiple medical comorbidities. I just want to say a couple things about our wellness programs. There's a lot going on there. We take an interprofessional approach, and as Dr. Gothridge said, even non-clinical staff have become acculturated to the focus on wellness. I heard Dr. Cook quote Quentin Young. Another quote from him that I always remember is, "Everybody in, nobody out." We can't do this over here in some sequestered clinic if over here people are loading up with the candy and the high concentrated carbohydrate food and undoing. And so bit by bit, we've rolled this out to all layers of the organization. I would say the nursing staff is key. I used to be the lone RN, for 8 hours a week years ago with some students. Now there are nurses on the outreach teams, clinic-based nurses, and they really form the backbone of the wellness planning, I would say. Typically, an integrated health assessment is done in which this document combines some elements of a traditional health history with an assessment of health literacy, with an evaluation of the client's motivation about which health behaviors they might want to work on changing, and then ends with some action steps, ideas for services and activities designed to help the client reach those health goals. So the content areas are in front of you, and tobacco smoking cessation is kind of a separate thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But individual and group modalities for all of these things, and we use different strategies such as health education, motivational interviewing, and sometimes psychotherapy directed at this health behavior change. So these things are deployed in the community by outreach nurses and embedded in the clinic such that on each and every clinic day, we have primary care, psychiatry, and wellness / coordination / health teaching going on with nursing on each day. We use the relationships we build with the clients to support health promotion goals. I think sometimes we don't talk enough about those therapeutic relationships. So the clients can join their primary care provider in a walking group where they also talk about nutrition. One client met with the integrated health nurse in the clinic weekly, very briefly, 15 minutes, for almost a year before early on there wasn't much change going on, but this client had certain health goals, and by the end of that 50 weeks, he'd lost 20 pounds. He'd gone from smoking 20 cigarettes to 8, and he now exercised 4 times a week from a baseline of 0. So the categories would be familiar to most of you: exercise, nutrition, illness self-management. Page down. One of the elements that has allowed us to do all this work is our partnerships. And I want to say a couple of things about the partnerships. I think John Mays has indicated that how important vision is and keeping the eyes on the prize of the mission. I think partnerships are phenomenal as long as those things are aligned somewhat. They don't have to be identical, but they have to be capable of merging. And so we've been lucky enough to have our FQHC partner, Heartland Health Centers, who bring a rich experience of providing primary care in the community and make us psych folks very happy whenever there's a medical emergency in the building and they respond with us, because it used to be just us. Couple things about our partnership, our academic partnership with Rush University. It's a faculty practice site. I'm there through a faculty practice. As John mentioned, we've had a lot of students in different courses. It's an occupational therapy clinical site as well. Both Heartland and Rush were named partners in the Graduate Nurse Education Demonstration Grant obtained through Rush University College of Nursing, which allows some funds to flow through to the community agencies to help defray the cost of educating nurse practitioners. We've had participation from other departments at Rush, such as the audiology folks doing hearing screenings at our most recent wellness fair. And Chicago House, another great partnership. They've enabled us to offer free HIV testing to all the clients and also have access to their CLEAR counseling program, which is excellent. Couple things I wanted to say about sustainability. It's almost cliche to say that you should start thinking about this the first day of your grant, but we had a four-year grant. It just ended at the end of last month. And I think we were thinking enough about sustainability such that our plan is going to work going forward. A couple elements of it are that we have been able to bill for certain services, such as psychiatric services and also some group services through the FQHC that were previously billed through the Community Mental Health Center. We use students, as mentioned, to help enlarge what we can do in coordination and health teaching in particular, as well as other services. And these are not just nursing students, but students of various ilks, and we try to mirror the interprofessional practice that we have in trying to get some of those students to work together as well. So, workforce development. I will try to speed this up a little bit, but I wanted to mention just one of the ways in which our academic partnership has had a lot of benefits. One that we didn't really think about in advance was the ability to help with the workforce. Some of you may have found that recruiting people to work in these settings isn't always easy, but we've been able to, in a number of cases, grow our own. In other words, people come and they do courses with us, especially some of the more intensive courses, and they like what they're doing. We get to, you know, train them while not paying them, and a number of them have come to work for us as master's prepared nurses in both the outreach teams, clinic-based. One of the psychiatric nurse practitioners that trained at Trilogy that was precepted by Dr. Gothridge now works for the FQHC, Heartland. I'm going to talk in a little bit later, if we have time, about the Center for Integrated Health Education. This is an effort on the part of all three partners to develop a model for doing continuing education courses certified through Rush's interprofessional continuing ed section to help really further help educate people in this field of integrated healthcare. I'm going to leave the peer ambassadors to you.
Okay.
Mary?
Hi, everyone. Integrating technology, you could talk about this all day long. It's really complex, but I think one of the main things to talk about in terms of this is just to not underestimate the amount of time that it may take, but how the rewards for that. So Trilogy implemented an electronic medical record about 2 years ago, CareLogic, and Heartland, our primary care partner, has a different electronic medical record, Centricity, and this is a very common problem, or not problem, opportunity for integrating health programs. So it's been, there's been a lot of meetings and a lot of time, and I think the key thing is just have the right people at these meetings and a mix of IT and evaluation and someone from the clinical staff to talk about the workflows of some of the things. But now we have a pretty great system of sharing information and doing the best we can. There's, work in the works to share, like, electronically, importing things, but we're not there yet. So right now we have, I'll talk a little bit more when I talk about the outcomes on some of the, how we've shared the information. Peer specialists, I'm probably totally preaching to the choir. I don't probably need to explain what that is, but I think it's just obviously essential to what we do. We have a lot of peer staff at Trilogy, over 20 now. I don't remember the exact number. But one thing is that we have a drop-in center we call the Beacon. That's open to anyone who identifies as having a mental illness, not just our clients, and that is all staffed by peers. And there's a lot of things that we do in the Beacon related to health. Some of the students from Rush have a health group called Rush Hour. It's very cute. And there's Q&As related to health, and we have peer staff on many of the teams and throughout the agency and are involved in the planning of these integrated health activities as much as possible. Consumers, obviously, that's central to all of it, as the slide that we flew through earlier. But there's a few different specific ways we've involved consumers. We have a consumer advisory council that has a subcommittee for integrated healthcare, so that's made up of consumers throughout the agency. And I'm sure you guys all know these acronyms, RAP and WAM. And to shout out to Whole Health Action Management is WAM. We're excited to be partnering with UIC in a research project with Thresholds as well. So that's something we're just getting off the ground, so we're excited to do that. And trauma-informed care. We, a couple years ago, were part of a learning community through the National Council on Behavioral Health Care to implement trauma-informed care practices, essentially recognizing the levels of trauma many of our clients have experienced and making sure that our services and program environment are respectful of that and recognize that. And so all this to say, our trauma-informed care committee has two consumers on the committee, and we look at our services, training staff, what do we have available for our clients, and even so much as what's the safety in the reception area, things like that. Community outreach. So I was thinking about this in terms of, okay, even if we get excellent at providing the services at 1400 Greenleaf Avenue in Rogers Park, our clients are part of a community, and we would be remiss to not try to educate the public as much as possible, reduce stigma, but also just expand the services so these services can be available throughout the community. So there's ways that we've invited community members and also just tried to get the message out about our wellness and integrated health efforts. We've had our second annual wellness fair this June, which was a great success. There was point of care testing from the nursing students. We had HIV testing. There were speakers, a walk to the lake, yoga class, cooking demonstrations. It was all these different things. Audiologists came to do hearing tests. Family night, that sort of came out of our Williams. I don't know if everyone's familiar with Williams. That's a long story. But basically, we're contracted with the state to help people move out from institutions of mental disease, IMD, nursing homes, to community-based living. So we've had a lot of clients moving from on their own. So it began with having nights at Trilogy where clients who were still living in nursing homes and their family members could come get information about what we do and the services we offer. And just one quick story. There was the first one we went to. I sat down at a table, and it was like, I stuck with me because I could see my own family responding this way. It was a bunch of siblings, and this one guy was not having any of it. And his sister was like, ignore my brother. He's just not on board. And so by the end of the night, there were speakers. The client was like introducing his family to his new friends and explaining what he was doing at Trilogy. And the guy came over to me. He's like, I'm really happy to meet you, and I hope to see you again. So I was like, it was a lovely moment. And then we've had a lot of different things. One other thing I wanted to mention was the landlord meet and greet. I don't know, we have talked about integrating healthcare when it comes to like the social determinants of health. Housing is such a central factor to someone's healthcare. So educating landlords about what we do and how, you know, people that are involved with community mental health agencies are actually excellent tenants and they have all this support and there's education that's offered to them on being a great tenant. So we had an event and that worked out really well. There was just yesterday, one of the people that had shown up at that rented to one of our clients for the first time. So that was great.
I want to make note of occupational therapy. This is a discipline that's somewhat newly added to our team, and it's very heartening to me. Back when I was director of a psychiatric home health program based in a hospital-based home care agency, we worked a lot with OTs, and it's great to have them embedded in our program. Just briefly, they do some of the things that are thought of as traditionally psychiatric OT, some of the physical disability things, and even some sensory work. They do comprehensive assessments. They work a lot with the Williams clients, make recommendations for adaptive equipment, home safety, and we have a tool for them to use, which is a practice apartment. So they can bring clients there both for assessment and for skills practice, and they're fully involved with the health team. I mentioned I was going to talk a little bit about smoking cessation. I think given the impact of this tobacco addiction on morbidity and mortality, it's really a vital puzzle piece, if you will. We've taken a multi-layered approach from going a couple of years ago to a completely smoke-free campus. The building had been smoke-free, but, you know, the grounds, et cetera. Staff education, everybody gets ask, advise, refer. Client treatment, we have nicotine replacement, the psychiatrists, the primary care people are prescribing those. We have some freebies. We work with people individually and in groups. We use carbon monoxide monitor to measure the CO in people's exhaled breath, sometimes a motivational tool, and we also celebrate events such as the Surgeon General's, the anniversary of the Surgeon General's historic report on smoking or initial pronouncement about the dangers of smoking and the Great American Smoke Out. We also give talks to help spread the word, like at our Mary and Sarah and I on a SAMHSA webinar not too long ago. I think John said most of what needed to be said about leadership earlier, and I guess I just want to reinforce that. Sometimes we're known to say around the integrated health program, integration is hard, and hopefully not in a whining way as we're, I don't know, toggling between two electronic health records just to find one little piece of information or trying to reach somebody, a specialist in the community that we can't find, that we need some info from. But it is hard because the larger system in which we're trying to do these things works against us. It's been fragmented. It continues to be fragmented and profit-driven, as Dr. Cook said, and just working at odds sometimes with what we're trying to do. So I think we have to work overtime with communication, with technology, with building trust, and a number of other things down to policies and procedures and workflows. One last thing from me about education. I mentioned the Center for Integrated Health Education. This was an initiative based actually in my doctoral work. One of the things that we did was establish the center and run a pilot course called Integrated Behavioral Health, Primary Care and Wellness, an Interprofessional Approach. It's an online 6-week course. 20 hours of continuing education credit. The credit was obtained for all licensure categories pretty much. And we got representatives of all those licensure categories to be in this discussion case-based course online, which was run last year. Physicians, psychiatrists, nurse practitioners, OTs, social workers, LCPCs, psychologists, et cetera. We're gonna run that again 2-3 times in the coming year. Watch your inbox about that. In addition, some other educational initiatives besides just regular training, some of our staff, including Mary Collarn, have been trained to do mental health first aid. We've done on-site certified alcohol and drug counselor training as well to help our staff increase their credentials.
Okay, so outcomes. As I mentioned, so the importance of managing with outcomes as much as possible, and also in the implementation as much as possible to be thinking about how it's going to be evaluated and what you need to put into place to try to answer the questions you want answered. So since we have two different systems, there's been a lot of ways we've shared information between Heartland Health Centers and Trilogy, and we just yesterday we're batting back and forth a dashboard for our monthly meetings that show health indicators like BMI and smoking status and hemoglobin A1C, and also financial indicators and no-show rates and encounters. So on one page, so we can look at that at leadership meetings and share that with people. So that's been helpful. So just a few outcomes. This was a SAMHSA grant, so we did this national outcome measure assessments with clients every 6 months. So a lot of these are coming from that. And I won't go through all this. It's in the slides you have. But here you see the biomarker, the percent, the rate of that at risk among our clients. The next column is those nationally, individuals with severe mental illness, and then among the overall population. So for example, BMI, 35.7% of the overall population is obese. Our clients, it's 50% versus nationally, people with SMI, 60%. So in the interest of time, I won't go into the details, but you can see that in your slides. And again, these are some healthcare outcomes from those national outcome measures. So again, these are improvement. There's other stats based on if they're out of the risk range. This is overall improvement. So if someone lost 2 pounds, they would be included in that 47%, again, these are some of the non-medical responses. Healthy overall, functioning in everyday life is quite impressive, I think. 62% outcome improved of those. And socially connected, I think that's an interesting one. It's something that is clearly contributes to someone's health and wellness, but is not often discussed in those terms. And then smoking status. So in 2 years, our smoking status, it's still high, but it's a lot lower. It went from 62% to 54% over 2 years' time. So back to Dr. Gothridge.
I think this would be a great time for questions so we can have some conversation. There's so many things that we've done. Ask us about them. So, who's first?